right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. This is Women's History Month, and today's show is all about International Women's Day, which was March 8th. At the back end of the show, we'll hear an interview of Maya and Prose, two women who are part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour here in L.A. They recently studied the history of the advances in the liberation of women that happened in the Soviet Union and China when they had revolutions led by communists. And they are interviewed by Sansara Taylor, co-host of the Revolution Nothing Less show on YouTube. Before that, we'll hear Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, talking about the oppression of women and why it's part of the capitalist imperialist system. That's an excerpt from his talk, Bob Avakian Speaks Revolution Nothing Less. And opening the show up, I'll be speaking with Sansara Taylor and Noche Diaz, a member of the Revolution Club, about International Women's Day and the fight for the emancipation of women as part of a revolution to emancipate all of humanity. This interview was conducted prior to March 8th. I'm going to introduce this with another clip from Bob Avakian, part of What If?
What if women could walk down the street and look every man they encounter straight in the eye and fear nothing and not be made to feel? And not be made to feel that you're on display and to be evaluated by how you sexually titillate them. What if no more women were ever again battered, raped, assaulted, denied the right to control their own bodies? What if people who were different in their sexual orientation or just in the way they went through life, instead of being discriminated against and bullied, were valued for their difference? If that were seen as part of the great diversity of humanity.
All right, welcome back. And that was Bob Avakian, the chair of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a longtime revolutionary and somebody who has really lit up the world in terms of fighting for people to understand what's going on, what are the key things here, what's going on, and why the world demands to be turned into something other than what it is now, the hellhole that it is right now. Sansara Taylor, I'm really pleased to bring you back to the show. It's been a long time, sister. You know, I'm really pleased to have you here.
Michael, I'm really happy to be with you, and especially for an International Women's Day focused segment. It's very important. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into it. And I know we want to have, maybe we'll also introduce Noche Diaz, who's going to be talking with either, I think we'll be talking after you or with you at some point, I'm not sure. But Noche, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, I'm here. I'm glad to be on your show. You know, really look forward to today and this weekend.
Yeah, all right, cool. Well, let's jump into it with Sansara Taylor right now and see what you have to say, Sansara. I want to know what's going on.
All right. Well, you know, I wanted to just start by really appreciating that you played that soundbite from Bob Avakian to start out the show. I was one of those voices cheering in the audience. Let me start with that. When you heard that, what if we had a whole different way that women could walk through the world? This was from a really historic event up in Harlem in New York City. It was a dialogue between Bob Avakian and Dr. Cornel West on revolution and religion. And that was a very short excerpt. It was an all-day event. I mean, it was an incredible event. But at one point, Bob Avakian, who really is a leader like no other on this planet, brought forward a vision of real emancipation, lifted our sights. What if we lived in a world where never again did a child-born female anywhere on this planet grow up to know what it was like to be afraid to walk down the street or be afraid in her home or to be aware constantly that at any moment you could be attacked, you could be raped, you could be degraded for what you're wearing, you could be violated, you could be deprived of the ability to decide for yourself when and whether to have a child, denied birth control, denied abortion, shamed for your sexuality, people who have sexualities and genders that don't conform to the patriarchal norm being shamed, brutalized, and even killed all over this world. Imagine a world where half of humanity was not enslaved and oppressed and degraded and dogged every day of their lives by the other half of humanity. That is a core part of the communist revolution. That is a core part of the revolution we need to make in the world right now. And I was just, you know, baking in that speech, he speaks about the other elements of oppression, the white supremacy, the hatred and violence against immigrants, the destruction of the planet, the wars for empire. He speaks about more, but at the core of this, which is very important, and I will bring it to International Women's Day, one of the core fault lines of this revolution that we need, that humanity needs, is to break the chains on women. And so it's very, you know, I just wanted to start by appreciating that. And it's a world of difference. People's sights are so low in this world right now. You think you could just make your way within the mayhem, within the degradation. Maybe you could carve out and scratch through and yourself be avoid being the victim of this kind of violence and degradation. But the idea of ending it for all women everywhere and for all people is very important. So International Women's Day, it's an internationalist holiday. That means we celebrate this together with our sisters and our brothers and differently gendered people all over the world, from Mexico to Iran to Congo to China, to every corner, to France and Germany, all over the world, everywhere women are held down. This is a day to confront that honestly, to look at it, not to prettify it, but also to dedicate ourselves and to unleashing the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution, to bringing forward the outrage against this oppression and degradation all over the world. And International Women's Day is also a revolutionary holiday, to bring that forward as a force for revolution, because the truth, and I think this will probably be where I end my opening comments on this, because I've said quite a bit, but the truth is that the oppression and degradation of women is not human nature. It's built into and woven into the system we live under, capitalism, imperialism, which is a nightmare for humanity. And there's no way to end this oppression without overthrowing this system, without completely abolishing it and replacing it with a radically different system. And that's what the revolution, the RevComs, are working on. That's what International Women's Day needs to be a day for people to learn about and accelerate and join with. And really, we don't have any time to waste, because the world is hurtling in a very dangerous direction. And we have the science and the leadership in Bob Avakian and the new communism to end all this. So that's the big challenge and invite, I guess, to start out in terms of International Women's Day. We can't tolerate this one day more. And so it's a great day of revolutionary celebration and dedication to wage that fight.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind listeners that you're tuned into the Michael Slate Show. That's right. I'm back. I'm back and having fun now, okay? And but what I'm here seriously talking about with Sansara and with Noche Diaz is we're talking about what's happening in the world, what's happening to people, and what needs to be done and what should be done. What charge do we have, you know, in terms of allowing or not allowing these things to happen? How do we stand up against this? And how many people are going to stand up against this? You know, I think the stuff that Sansara is saying about this is really, really important. And before we jump back into Sansara, I want to play a piece from Iranian women that actually might have something really moving for people to as they listen to it. So check this out, and we'll be right back with Sansara Taylor.
حکومت دین مدار
This piece is from A Cyan Revolt, which describes itself as the voice of women's rebellion to express the determination and to serve their struggle against the Islamic Republic. It was made in collaboration with revolutionary artist Shekib Mossadegh, who rewrote the words of the international anti-rape anthem to give it a revolutionary thrust and content. It was performed at a protest in front of the Iranian consulate in Hamburg, Germany in 2020. The words include, "You misogynist rulers, hear our rebellion. Theocrat rulers, capitalist powers, you are the enemy. You are outmoded." Very moving. And on that note, please, sisters and brothers, think about this. Think about the way people are depending on us getting out the word about what's happening here, what's happening across the country, what needs to be done, what are we doing. And on that note, I want to come back to Sansara Taylor. Sansara, what'd you think of that?
Oh, man, can I tell you something? That is one of the... I encourage people. Just hearing it was very beautiful. I encourage people to go to revcom.us, the website. We have footage. We have the video where you see this being performed with a kind of a flash mob, socially distanced, very defiant protest of multi-generational women in Hamburg, Germany, standing up against the Islamic Republic and standing with women everywhere. And I love that you... There are more lyrics that you didn't read. You can find the whole lyrics in the video translated. But I love that you read the simple statement, "You are outmoded." These are women who have a sense that this system that rules over us, capitalism, imperialism, and all the different forms of state and society that have been woven into this global system of exploitation and domination, including the Islamic Republic of Iran, as well as, yes, the U.S., the so-called leader of the free world, which is sitting on top of and enslaving people all over the world, including people in this country, that is the system that's outmoded. And actually, a different world is possible, a radically different kind of system, a socialist system on the road to real communist emancipation. I know that people have been told communism is a really dirty word. They've been lied to about this. But the truth is that the emancipation of women, the breaking all the chains, including those that bind the half of humanity born female, has always been a core part of the communist revolution, from its founding with Karl Marx and Engels to the first Russian Revolution, and then in the revolutionary China. This went to new heights before capitalism was restored there. I will say we just did a really moving interview with some of the young members of the Revolution Club on the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, on youtube.com/therevcoms, where they were learning about a lot of what was the radical and emancipatory changes for women that were made in revolutionary China. Women went from having their feet bound and being forced into child marriages and sold like chattel as concubines and property, to really a society where women hold up half the sky, and they were part of leading a revolution to break all the chains, and it inspired the world, and it's been buried. So I love that these women were saying, "You are outmoded to this system," and with this revolution that we are working to make, and more people need to join with making right now, Baba Vakin has built on this liberating history all around of the communist revolution, but including on the question of women. And he's gone even more radical, even more deeper and scientific on the need to break all the chains. And he's scientifically analyzed and put the challenge to everybody, including to men out there, that you can't break all the chains except one. You can't say you want to end, be free of exploitation and oppression, but keep the oppression of women by men. You can't say you want to get free, but keep one half of humanity enslaved to the other half. And he makes the point that the oppression of women is completely bound up with the division of society into masters and slaves and exploiters and exploited. And the ending of all such conditions is impossible without the complete liberation of women. And I'm very closely paraphrasing, not an exact quote, but he ends this statement by saying, "All this is why women have a tremendous role to play, not only in making revolution, but in making sure it is all the way revolution. Break the chains, unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution." So that's what I hear in that beautiful performance and protest that you just played. And that's the challenge to all of us right now on this International Women's Day. Are we going to let the world continue to grind up a billion women on this planet, one in three women, raped or brutalized in her lifetime. Sex trafficking and sexual slavery, the second, tied for the second largest part of the informal global economy after drugs, tied with weapons. Women being enslaved still by the millions and millions, girls, including right here in South Central in Los Angeles, you have 15-year-old, 14-year-old, 11-year-old girls being pimped out. And it's not the fault of the girls, and it's not even just the fault of the communities doing this. This is the system. And so are we going to continue to let this grind up yet another generation and another generation, or are we going to make the choice to be part of ending it? Because anything short of overthrowing this system leaves this intact. And that's the challenge of International Women's Day, to join the revolution. So that's what I heard in those women in Hamburg, and that's the challenge that I put to everybody listening now. And the invitation, because it's a very liberating and uplifting. It's a beautiful holiday, International Women's Day, because we don't have to tolerate this. We can change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was actually thinking about that as I was preparing this morning, and I was thinking, there's nothing I would rather do on a show today and for many times over than what we're doing right now. And it does make a major difference in not just shining a light on what's happening to women all over the world and what needs to be done about it. That's the thing, too, is that having a way, something that can be spoken to as, there is a way out of this, and this is the way, this is what it takes. And I think it's really, what you were just saying and what I've been reading, over the last couple of days and rereading and stuff about just how this unfolds. It was just remarkable. It was remarkable. And I thought, there's nothing I would rather be doing than actually popularizing this right as we're doing right now and actually calling on people, not just popularizing it, but calling on people to get up. To get up and get ready, because this cannot be allowed. This cannot be tolerated. And there is a beauty out there. There is a beauty even within people, and there's a beauty that's forming among the people all over the world that are starting to stand up around stuff like this. And this, I'll tell you, Sansara, this year's International Women's Day had a bigger impact on me than many of the other ones. I think it was just like, it was very sharp, it was very pointed, and it was really, and it was full. It was just full of, We are not hiding. We are not turning our backs, all right? And so I'm going to move on to talk to your partner over there and for a little bit. And stick around, because we'll probably be coming back real soon. But I want to have Noche Diaz come on and talk with us about this, because we've got to talk to people, too, about, I'll give away my age, but I've been doing this a long time. And I remember I was thinking about this morning. The way that our understanding of this, the way that we've presented things and the way we've approached people around this in general, not across this in society, but in particular with people who are more revolutionary minded, this has become even more important than anything I came into in way back when. But it's actually something now that really speaks to people, as Sansara was just pointing out, speaks to people in terms of what are you going to do, what do you need to do, and what are you going to do. And I want to talk to Noche Diaz right now. Noche, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Michael. Glad to be on here. I'm really reflecting on and appreciating the conversation you just had with Sansara. This Monday is International Women's Day, March 8th, and we have a weekend of activity going into that we want to share with people. But I do just want to say, like she was reflecting on, if people listen to that clip from Bob Avazian talking about, what if the world could be totally different? He really speaks to things that everybody's familiar with, but nobody knows. I mean, this is not just like, if this is your issue or something like that, then here's a thing for you that we got going on. This is about like what whole generations of people are, what world they're going to actually inherit and grow up in. And there's both a charge and a responsibility for us to fight to break the chains that hold half of humanity down that's born female. But there's also an opportunity here right now, this weekend, to not only join that fight, but to be part of lifting up the sights of people and getting with this revolution, because this is a great crimes are being committed. But there's also a whole other world is possible that we could actually bring into being if we got rid of this system, which is in the way. And the Revolution Tour and the Revolution Clubs are are taking up the leadership of Bacon is providing, and we're out to actually bring forward people into being part of that revolution, to bring that world into being. Half of humanity has to go through the world, where young girls are part of coming to age or learning to have to live with and accommodate themselves to being viewed as a piece of meat, and to go through the rest of their lives facing insult and degradation on top of all the outrageous crimes that people, you know, that you guys were talking about. But just even the way you have to go through the world simply because you're born female. And if this is something that you have, if your listeners, you know, if you felt this way, if you want to be part of this fight, but even if you haven't, if you've never even allowed yourself to think about how outrageous it is that people have to live this way because it seems so natural and so normal and so part of everyday life, this is also the time and the place for you to be with the Revolution Club. You know, this is your time. This is your opportunity. And then to the guys out there, this is not something to just be on the sidelines wishing well and cheering on. This is your fight, too. If you want to be part of fighting for a world where everybody is free, you need to get with this yourself. And one thing I want people to think about in the work leading up to it, you know, we've been out there, and, you know, the story of this young woman, high school age, who saw one of the quotes from Bob Avakian on what it's like for children born female in this world, and talking to people who are getting this out there about things that you want to see gone that symbolize this oppression. And she mentioned the belt and told the story about seeing, you know, someone in her family, a guy, beating his partner, a woman, with a belt in front of her repeatedly. And learning that this is what women have to face, this is what she has to look forward to if she happens to fall in love and get with somebody who's thinking the way that the system has us thinking. Another young person in their 20s, a young guy actually reflecting on the 7 sisters he has and reading that same quote, thinking, this is everything I'm afraid of. Because of, you know, thinking about the young women in his life who are going to have to grow up and face all these things, and reflecting on all the preachers and people who have come through that neighborhood saying everything about how the problem in the world is women, and God has been punishing people because women are being too loose or not dressing the right way and are being, you know, all, you know, this and that. And to see people coming through saying we have to break all those chains, and that women, men, and differently gendered people can stand shoulder to shoulder as part of fighting for that future world, you know, was uplifting for people who don't even allow themselves to think that things could be different and confront how ugly they truly are.
All right. I want to thank you very much. And I'm going to move back to Sansara Taylor right now before we have to sign off on that. Sansara, you here now?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Listen, I have 2 things I want to say. What I wanted to say in response to kind of wind up our interview and respond to what Noche was just saying is 2 things, really. One, look, we live in a time where people get really uptight. Oh, you're saying for International Women's Day, oh, you're talking about following a man. You know, Bob Avakian, yeah, he's a white guy. And I just want to say, deal with it, okay? He's a white guy who is providing leadership like nobody else. He's charted a strategy to make a revolution. He's written a constitution for a new socialist republic that is actively it's a serious document, the economy, the laws, the structures, international relations, and how we would uproot all forms of oppression, but including this one that we're talking about today, the enslavement of women by men, which is woven into the fabric and the foundation of every class society. How do you unweave it? This is a radical document, and it's real. Avakian has developed a method and approach, a scientific approach, and he's actively leading and making revolution. He is fighting in a way that nobody has on this question and on many others. And so, you know, I just want to say, if you want to end the oppression of women, if you want to see humanity free, we can't afford not to take up this leadership and follow what Bob Avakian on this. And I just wanted to take that head on in terms of a lot of the shallowness with which people are trained to think, oh, I'll follow a woman on women, I'll follow black people if it's about black people. How about we follow people who know how to get free? And that's what I wanted to say on that. And then I wanted to close by reading, it's a quote from Avakian. And it's the one that Noce was referencing, having read out in the neighborhoods. It's the quote that solicited a lot of the stories he was telling. And it's very moving, and it gives you a sense of the character of this leader and the import of this fight right now. And he says, look at all these beautiful children who are female in the world. And in addition to all the other outrages which I have referred to, in terms of children throughout the slums and shanty towns of the third world, in addition to all the horrors that have been heaped on them, the actual living in garbage and human waste and the hundreds of millions as their fate laid out before them, yes, even before they are born. There is on top of this, for those children who are born female, the horror of everything this will bring simply because they are female in this world of male domination. And this is true not only in the third world, in, quote, modern countries like the U.S. as well. The statistics barely capture it. The millions who will be raped, the millions more who will be routinely demeaned, deceived, degraded, and all too often brutalized by those who are supposed to be their most intimate lovers. The way in which so many women will be shamed, hounded, and harassed if they seek to exercise reproductive rights through abortion or even birth control. The many who will be forced into prostitution and pornography. And all those who, even if they do not have that particular fate, and even if they achieve some success in this, quote, new world where supposedly there are no barriers for women, will be surrounded on every side and insulted at every moment by a society and a culture which degrades women on the streets, in the schools and workplaces, in the home, on a daily basis, and in countless ways. Now, that is the situation. That's from Bob Avakian. That's the situation that confronts women, and that is unnecessary. It is unnecessary, and we have, each of us, a choice to make if we're going to be part of letting it continue or being part of ending it. So I want to thank you, Michael, for having us on, and thank you, Noce, for coming in and sharing as well.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today, too.
That was Sansara Taylor and Noce Diaz talking about International Women's Day. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom. They're trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens.
That was Outer National with First We Take Manhattan, a song by Leonard Cohen. Now we're going to hear Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, talking about the oppression of women and why it's part of the capitalist imperialist system. That's an excerpt from his talk, Bob Avakian Speaks, Revolution, Nothing Less.
Now, earlier I spoke to the fact that the division of society into masters and slaves, into different classes, developed together with the oppression of women. These were very tightly bound together in their historical development and have remained so throughout the course of history since that time through different kinds of societies. And today we can see the ways in which the oppression of women, not just in a particular country, but on a world scale, continues to feed the functioning of this capitalist imperialist system. Not only, as I pointed out, is it highly profitable in the billions and billions of dollars to oppress women in sex trafficking, prostitution, and pornography, but also the backward conditions that are maintained and enforced by the functioning and the military power of the imperialist countries throughout the third world lead to a situation where many women are outcast and desperate and highly vulnerable to being exploited in this vast network of sweatshops that is at the foundation of imperialist capital in the world today. You know, I think of the phenomenon of people standing in line for the latest gadget from Apple. And I have to say, it makes me mad. I say to myself, what the f*** is the matter with you people? You can stand in line overnight for the latest gadget from Apple, but you can't stand up to oppose wars and torture and mass incarceration and the degradation of women. What the hell is the matter with you people? Now, to be clear, those people standing in line are not the enemy. But what is represented by Apple, and not just Apple unto itself, but the whole system and the network of exploitation that Apple is a part of and enmeshed in, is what needs to be swept aside. I mean, when you're at the end of the food chain in a country like this, living parasitically, even if you're not in the ruling class, off of people all over the world, once again, sometimes all this can be hidden from you. You do not see the blood and the bones, the worn down fingers and other body parts of particularly women who are working in the plants in places like China, making the components that go into the Apple products and all these other things under horrific conditions. You do not see the people in Bangladesh making many of the clothes that you're wearing. And when you leave here, go home tonight, look in your closet and see how many of your clothes you can find are not made in the third world, and you can be sure if they are made in places like Bangladesh, Haiti, Pakistan, or whatever, that they're made through a lot of child labor and, in any case, extreme conditions of sweatshop exploitation. But we do know that the products don't come with this stamped on them. You don't pick up an iPhone, press a button, and the blood of the women who made it comes gushing out. But it's there, even though you can't see it. And imperialism feasts on this. Don't let them fool you with their talk about microloans. Let's have some microloans for poor women in the third world so they can set up a business and exploit other women and then, in their large numbers, fail anyway. This is not what the imperialist system is doing. This is a tiny countercurrent to the massive exploitation on which of these very kinds of women on which this system rests. And look at this country. Not only is there the great value to imperialist capital of super exploitation of women in the third world, but in this country, it's a fact that the social relations that oppress women are critical for holding together this whole oppressive system, which has historically evolved with male domination, a key foundation of the whole system, a foundation stone built into its whole structure. Think about the family and how people live and reproduce in this society. Everything in this society is based on commodity production and exchange. You don't have little groups of people all making overwhelmingly the things they need and then using them themselves. There's vast networks of exploitation in this country, but increasingly in other parts of the world, producing all these things. And then you have to get some means by working in some way or other to have the basis of to have the commodity money to go buy these things. That's the way the economy works. And all of it gets funneled through the what these reactionaries are always reminding us is the basic unit and cell of this society, the family. And the whole family has evolved historically with women being subordinate to men and having as one part of that the prime responsibility for the domestic aspect of things, including the rearing of children and things like just doing the everyday work of the house. And there have been some changes in this society. More women in the professions, more women going to college, more women working in a lot of ways. And all this has put tremendous strains on these oppressive relations, but it hasn't broken them because this system cannot do without these relations. And so you have this tremendous potential eruption where the changes in the economy are straining against the limitations of the oppression of women and other exploitative and oppressive relations, but the system cannot do without them. Now, as one illustration of this, I was reading an article in the New York Times about a phenomenon in the South where some of these men who had fairly good paying industrial jobs, once again the phenomenon, the companies closed down, moved the factories away, the men are out of work, the women are going out and getting the jobs and service and whatever that are available to them that they can get, but the men are largely sitting on their couches, drinking their beer and moping. And one of the authors of this article asked one of these men, well, why don't you go out and get one of these jobs that these women are doing? He said, no, I can't do that. It's not man's work. I just wouldn't feel like a man if I had a job like that. This captures a lot about the contradictions of this system and how it's intensifying. And in reading this, I was thinking about what Engels wrote in The Origin of the Family, Private Property in the State. And talking about the Roman Empire, Engels, who along with Marx founded the communist movement. He was talking about agriculture in the declining period of the Roman Empire, that it had been based on slave plantations called latifundia. But as the Roman Empire went into decline, the plantations, the slave plantations, the latifundia became less and less profitable. And so they broke down and people had to go back into small-scale farming. But all of the former slave owners, or almost all of them, wouldn't go back and do actual farm work, even though the plantations were no longer profitable, because they considered it beneath their dignity to do that kind of work. And Engels pointed out, this contributed to the decline and weakening of Rome and made it more and more vulnerable to the barbarians that were increasingly at the gate and battering at the gate. And I was thinking about these men saying, I can't do that. It's not man's work. It doesn't make me feel like a man. How this represents a straining of the changes have brought about, straining against the oppressive relations. And I was thinking about how, in parallel to Rome, how this could also contribute to the further declining and weakening of this oppressive system and make it more vulnerable to the barbarians, namely us. Now, the oppression of women and all the horrors bound up with it can be ended and something radically different and emancipating brought into being. Now, let's be honest. To many, especially many women, this may not seem possible and, frankly, hard to believe. But that is not only because of the way things are now and the way so many men act so much of the time, but more fundamentally, because of the way things are now, sets a certain framework and tone for people's thinking. Because the possibility of radical change cannot be seen to the degree that our vision and our sense of reality and of possibility is still confined within, conditioned by, and filtered through the dominating relations that are at the foundation of this whole system. And the traditions, values, ways of being and of thinking that constantly pour forth from and serve to perpetuate this system that we are forced to live under. In this way, they get us twice. Their system embodies and enforces all this horrific oppression, and it has people believing that this cannot be done away with. But the truth, which they try every way to keep people from seeing, is that we can be rid of this horrific oppression. But we can't do this by accepting the terms of this system or any part of its oppression. We can't do it half-stepping and halfway. That is why Basics 322 makes it very clear. You cannot break all the chains except one. You cannot say you want to be free of exploitation and oppression except you want to keep the oppression of women by men. You can't say you want to liberate humanity yet keep one half of humanity enslaved to the other half. The oppression of women is completely bound up with the division of society into masters and slaves, exploiters and exploited, and the ending of all such conditions is impossible without the complete liberation of women. All this is why women have a tremendous role to play, not only in making revolution, but in making sure there is all the way revolution. The fury of women can and must be fully unleashed as a mighty force for proletarian revolution. And as this statement is also emphasizing, the fight against the oppression of women and for all the way revolution is not just their fight. It is a fight that must be fully and vigorously taken up by men as well, by everyone who really wants to see an end to this system and all the horrors it means for the masses of humanity. Everyone who wants to see an end to the long night in which humanity has been divided into masters and slaves, exploiters and exploited, who wants to see a dawning of a new day for humanity. The only people who should fear and not join in with this unleashed fury of women are those who have a real stake in this system and want to keep it going with everything it does to people.
That was Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, talking about the oppression of women and why it's part of the capitalist imperialist system. That's an excerpt from his talk, Bob Avakian Speaks, Revolution, Nothing Less. You can access the whole film at revcom.us. Now we're going to hear an interview with Maya and Prose, two women who are part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour, speaking about the advances in the liberation of women that happened in the Soviet Union and China when they had revolutions led by communists. They are interviewed by Sansara Taylor, and kicking off the interview is another clip from Bob Avakian on a culture of revolt against the revolting culture.
Imagine if we had a whole different art and culture. Come on, enough of this bitches and hoes and SWAT teams kicking down doors. Enough of this get low bull. And how come it's always the women that have to get low? We already have a situation where the masses of women and the masses of people are pushed down and held down low enough already. It's time for us to get up and get on up. Imagine if we had a society where there were a culture that, yes, was lively and full of creativity and energy and, yes, rhythm and excitement, but at the same time, instead of degrading people, lifted us up. Imagine if it gave us a vision and the reality of what it means to make a whole different society and a whole different kind of world. Imagine if it laid out the problems for people in making this kind of world and challenged them to take up these problems. Imagine if art and culture too, movies, songs, television, everything, challenged people to think critically, to look at things differently, to see things in a different light, but all pointing toward how can we make a better world. Imagine if the people who created art and culture were not just a few handfuls of people, but all the masses of people with all their creative energy unleashed, and the time were made for them to do that and for them to join in with people who are more full-time workers and creators in the realm of art and culture, to bring forward something new that would challenge people, would make them think in different ways, that would make them be able to see things critically and from a different angle, and would help them to be uplifted and help them to see their unity with each other and with people throughout the world in putting an end to all the horrors that we're taught are just the natural order of things. Imagine all that. This is not some kind of fantasy I'm talking about. This is what's been done in socialist societies. It's what's been done in the Soviet Union, and even more so in China, in the time when our class, the proletariat, held power. This is what's been done in these spheres and every other part of society. Yes, we're going to have laws and a constitution in socialist society to protect the people, to protect their interests, and to protect their rights. But more than that, we're going to rely on the people.
We're going to bring forward the people. We're going to enable them to wrangle with things and to thrash things out themselves collectively. We're going to lead them to challenge everything, to transform everything, to bring into being this whole new world and to do it together with the people of the world. And what I'm talking about, again, is not a fantasy. These are the things that have been done in the socialist societies that have existed, or they're the things that, on the basis of that experience, we have summed up and are learning more deeply need to be done. This is all possible. It's not some pipe dream. This is what happens when the mass of people rise up and take control over society. And this is what waits to be done.
That was Bob Avakian in his 2003 talk, Revolution, why it's necessary, why it's possible, and what it's all about. And he ends that segment we shared with you by saying all of this that he's been describing is not just a dream. It's not a fantasy. All of this has been accomplished when the proletariat has held state power, or it's what can be accomplished on the basis of summing up and learning from that experience and going forward. So we're going to talk about this today, and I'm really very happy to bring to you two members of the Revolution Club and members of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour here in Los Angeles. We have Maya and Prose. Welcome to the RNL show.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to you.
All right, so listen, we want to have you on today because I know that International Women's Day is coming up, and both of you guys have done quite a bit of work recently to learn about the history of the Communist Revolution on this question overall, but in particular, looking at this question of breaking the chains that bind women. And I know that the Communist Revolution has been lied about, it's been slandered, this history has been hidden from people, so I think it'd be really important. We wanted to have you on to share some of what you've been learning. And I think it'd be helpful. Maybe you could just start with one or two examples and we could broaden from there. Maya, you want to start?
One of the things that I want to talk about that really struck me was that the marriage law. And in one of the things that people don't, well, many things that people don't know, one of them is what kind of history China was coming from. It was a feudal system. It was hell for women. Women had no rights whatsoever. They were treated as animals. They could not divorce. They concubines, which are women who are bought basically into sex slavery. Men of wealthy who can afford were able to buy as many women as they could. It's just like buying any furniture or as many shoes as you can afford. Women had to stay in abusive relationships. They had no rights to own land. And the first thing that Mao Zedong did was to implement the marriage law. For the first time in history, women were able to divorce. This was monumental. You know, women had the right to land. You know, again, these are unprecedented things that for centuries, women had endured these horrific conditions. So that's what, you know, that's one of the things that stood out to me. How about you, Prose?
Something that really stood out to me was the revolutionary art at the period and the revolutionary ballets that were being produced in China during the time of the Cultural Revolution and before to influence in a mass way how all of society, how women saw themselves as a part of society, and how all of society understood the role and the position of women in fighting for the change and the transformation of society to get people free from the old oppressive relations they were coming from. It's at the time they were in a situation where they were fighting a revolution against the old reactionary forces and imperialists, and you know, I'm talking about the revolution in China. And seeing some of the art that was depicted of women standing shoulder to shoulder with men, armed and in combat, was just really powerful and striking. And it's a real difference than what you're told some kind of a liberated position for women is in today's society, where you could be, you know, if you're you get these ads for joining the armed forces for the U.S. imperialists. And yeah, you can be a woman and you can fight these imperialist war and die for them to oppress other women in third world countries, you know, to enslave women and children. But these women were doing something different. They were taking up arms to liberate themselves and others.
Yeah, and I wanted to say also the ideas, right? The ideas were being changed on a societal level. I remember reading and being struck by the fact that some young women were changing their names, right? They were given these, because women are seen, still now, are seen as fragile, as weak. And the names that were given were, you know, like flower and just, you know, feminine names. And they were changing their names to fighters, right? Fighters and strong names that actually are associated mostly with men, right? And so that's part of the way, you know, actually being part of a campaigning and on a societal level to change the way women were seen as equal and full human beings.
What has it changed in how you've imagined the possibilities learning this? And what difference do you think it makes for people to find out about this liberating history?
Yeah, I mean, imagine when you're faced with all of this, if we're talking about what women undergo in this society, being objectified and sexualized from a very young age, you know, everything from domestic abuse to forced motherhood. When you're up against that and you have no point of reference that things can be any different. And that's what, you know, that's what burying this revolutionary history is done for. But in terms of like going on a journey of research and discovery about what was done, it unleashed a lot of like inspiration in me and a lot of impatience. But those are just some things that, you know, really stayed with me. What about you, Maya?
I feel your outrage. Growing up, I did see the oppression of women. I saw the oppression of people, but in particular, the young women who were being sexually abused. You know, it was so common. It wasn't spoken about, but you knew it was happening. And growing up, trying to figure out how can I do something? And the only thing that I thought I was able to do is actually help one-on-one counsel people who had already been sexually assaulted, you know, and then realizing that that's not going to do it. You still had millions of women all around the planet, not only sexually assaulted, but brutalized, being killed, being thrown acid in their faces just for being a female. And then finding out that that doesn't have to be that way, that things can actually change. It was just liberating. You know, in China, the prostitution within decades of the revolution was completely eliminated. And women who had been in that, you know, who had been prostituted were part of the economy, were part of challenging on a societal level to change the way people were seeing women. That was something so beautiful that I had not imagined that, you know, women had that capability. And then you see in society right now, today, you still have prostitution and the age has decreased. Here in Los Angeles, in South Central, you have prostitution. It has increased and the age level has decreased. And this is not the fault of the women. This is the fault of this system that has condemned women to these conditions. And to understand that in the past, this actually has ended. Come on now, under communism. And we can actually do it again, this time around, actually liberating half of humanity, that is women, as part of liberating all of humanity. You need to be part of this revolution to get to a world where women can walk down the street and never, ever fear men, not flinch for a second to think that you're going to be sexually assaulted. That is possible, right? That's what we learned. And that's what we're fighting to bring into being with the leadership of Baba Vakian and the new communism, what we have learned from past revolutions. And we can see that we can make it this time around.
I wanted to give you guys a chance. I know that in your digging into this history, there was a poem that you found that really struck you, moved you, and that you wanted to share with our audience. So I want to give you a chance to introduce that, and we'll close out with a reading of this poem.
This is Ode to a Plum Blossom, a poem by Mao Zedong, leader of the Chinese Revolution. This was written in 1961, and our comrade Maya is going to read it to us now.
Wind and rain escorted spring's departure. Flying snow welcomes spring's return. On the ice-clad rock rising high and sheer, a flower blooms sweet and fair. Sweet and fair, she craves not spring for herself alone. To be the harbinger of spring, she is content. When the mountain flowers are in full bloom, she will smile mingling in the midst.
All right, that was Maya and Prose, two women who are part of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour, interviewed by Sansara Taylor.
And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
We're going to go out now with Free Women by Outer National. Talk to you again next week.
One way or another, I'm going to find you. I'm trying to.